you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today we're going to continue our Grow with a Pro series and dive into the wonderful world of voiceover acting. Joining me today is professional voiceover actress Elaine B. Cashmore. Welcome to the show, Elaine.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to get to talk to you about it.
All right, fantastic. Well, let's just jump right in. For those in the audience who aren't familiar with it, what is voiceover acting?
Yeah, voiceover acting is all around us. And when you stop and think about how often you hear voices outside of your head, we don't need to worry about the voices that are coming from inside of your head. There's voices everywhere we go. So voiceover acting is just a term for any time you're hearing the voice of a performer, but without seeing the actual speaker. So it is everything from audiobooks to phone systems, videos, video games, TV shows, all of that is all incorporated in that kind of general term of voiceover acting.
Very interesting. And how did you get your start doing voiceover acting?
Well, it certainly was not a direct line. Not a, start here and end there. My love of acting started when I was very, very young, and I studied theater in college and did community theater right after college. But then, life happens and kids happen, and you have to pay the bills, so you have a career, and that becomes the focus for a long time. But I reached a point in my life where financially I was able to kind of pop my head up and say, hey, where am I? What do I really want to be doing? And how can I incorporate all of these skills that I've learned from the business world, as well as the skills that I have from an acting perspective? And how can I pull those together and make a new career for myself? And voice acting really does pull all of that together. So I started taking classes, I started researching, I started learning everything that I could and soaking it up and practicing and starting out small and growing and finding a lot of success through it.
And you mentioned taking classes. Where did you take classes at?
So I took a little intro class at the College of Lake County, which was very, very helpful. I also took some training with Darren Stevens in Chicago. I took some coaching with Bill DeWeese, who's a wonderful professional and coach. Definitely a great resource for anybody who's interested. And then, again, just a lot of online resources and webinars. And there's a lot of free opportunities out there, which is great because most people can't just dive in with a big investment. So I was able to take advantage of things like that to get my feet started. And then it was a lot of practice and work to get going.
And how long have you been doing voiceover?
So I think that's a good question. You're going to test my memory here. I think I started in about 2015 was when I really started that exploration. Did it kind of part-time on the side as I was working full-time for a little while. And then I did resign from my full-time kind of 9-to-5. My cousin would say big girl job, and then was able to really focus on the voiceover for several years. Now, this year in March, I was I kind of reached a point where I was ready to get out of the studio and interact with more people. So I did take a full-time training job that I'm doing now, a corporate training job. But what's exciting is I'm still really using a lot of my voiceover experience and expertise because I'm doing e-learning and preparing materials the same way that I was doing as a voiceover actor, but now I'm working for one company. So it's grown and changed over the years, certainly.
Well, that's great. And what are some samples of some work that you might have done? What would be some examples?
Yeah, so I've really had opportunities to do a lot of things. you know, when you tell people you're an actor, you know, you might have heard this as well. They say, oh, what did I see you in? What do I know you from?
Right.
And a lot of the work that I've done isn't necessarily things that people would see around here. I have absolutely done some TV and radio commercials. Most of them have been like in California, North Carolina, some other states, so nothing too local. Although it was fun to get a text from somebody, hey, did you do a commercial for such and such? And they had heard it on Spotify, so that was fun. Yeah, but I've done a lot of other things as well, so phone systems, explainer videos, I've done some audiobooks, a lot of stuff for little kids, which is my favorite. Some language lessons, so that's a big opportunity for people outside of the English-speaking world look for American voices to help with those types of projects. A lot of e-learning, so corporate training, and other things like that that are used for an educational purpose, whether it be for the workplace or for students.
Now, doing this out of your house, what kind of specialized equipment do you need?
You know, it's not as bad as one might think. You do need a decent microphone. It does. We should not be using a USB microphone because that's not going to give you the quality that you're going to look for professional production quality. But other than the microphone and the preamp and a really good laptop or computer, there's not too much else you really need. What really is important is the space, and I think that's something that people struggle with, is finding a little spot in their home where they're able to get some quiet and some sound absorption to treat that space, and that would work appropriately. Sometimes that's harder than it is just to buy a microphone and plug in and get started.
Right. Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And did you have any formal training before you went into voice acting?
Well, I do have my bachelor's degree in acting and theater. Theater and music. I have a weird bachelor's degree because quite some time ago, Illinois State University was a great place. However, they didn't have a musical theater degree, so I kind of cobbled something together, which
gotcha.
I don't recommend, but it worked out for me. So I did have that training and then, you know, experience with community theater. And I really garnered a lot from the business work that I had done as well, because so much of what this job is not just about sitting in front of a microphone and making silly voices. It's not that, or reading. It's really about so much more, and you have to have that business acumen, that customer service. So all of the experience that I've had, everything that I've learned, all becomes useful, and it can bring it all back to the voiceover.
And then how do you go about finding voiceover work?
It's all around us. It really, really is. It just takes some time to think about it. So there's several different paths that you can take. I do go through all of this. I am teaching classes both at the College of Lake County now, and then I'm coming up, we're about ready to announce some classes at the Actor Studio in Kenosha. So that's coming up in October as well for people who are a little bit farther north. But I go into much greater detail on where you can find some work. But just to kind of give you a nutshell, so it's really encouraged that you would look for do your own marketing and reach out to businesses that are looking for work, whether that be directly to small businesses, whether that be to marketing agencies, ad agencies that have a roster of voiceover actors. So that's certainly a great way to go. You can also get work through agents, and I have an agent, and most voice actors have one or a few agents that bring them some work. And then there's also some websites that facilitate that matchup between producers and voiceover actors. Some of them you do have to pay a certain amount, so there is an investment there, and then you have the opportunity to have the auditions, and then it's very, very competitive. That can be very difficult, and it is a big investment. So there are websites that are specifically dedicated for voiceover actors. And then I know a lot of people also use freelancing websites, so things like freelancer.com. Upwork is the platform I prefer. There's a lot of people on Fiverr, although there's some controversy within the industry about using some of those sites, which we could tell another story another day there. But so there really are a lot of different opportunities for people to get involved at any different level within any different genre.
Now, you mentioned that you have some classes coming up that you're teaching at College of Lake County and in Kenosha. Can you tell us a little bit about what those classes would look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had started out designing these classes. I had designed these classes to be face-to-face, to give people an opportunity to stand in front of a microphone. It is really surprising how different a person will speak when they're sitting behind a desk in a classroom environment, and how much they physically and vocally change when they stand in front of a microphone. So the idea is hopefully someday we can get back to those face-to-face classes. But for right now, we are doing them online. We have a series going at CLC, at College of Lake County. There's an introduction course for one day that where I just kind of go over. There's a lot of information packed into this three-hour course. But to give you that really introduction to the basics of what you would need to know to see if you're interested or not, to see if it's something you would want to pursue, kind of the pros and cons and the things to consider. So that's a one-night event. And then there's a four-week series at the total of 12 hours where we take a much deeper dive into three aspects: the performance, the technical skills that are needed, and then the business side of it and how to get jobs and how to audition and what companies are looking for, what your clients are looking for, and how to support those clients. So we try to cover those three main areas. And that technology piece is one thing that I found very lacking. There's a free software program called Audacity. It's called a digital audio workstation that you can download and use. However, there is a ton of information out there on how to use it, but it's really difficult to navigate what exactly you need to do and how much you should be really treating your audio. So we spend a lot of time on that in the class because it is so critical to your success to be able to produce nice, quality, usable audio.
And if somebody
that's kind of harder to find as you look for training and education.
If someone was interested in taking these classes, how would they go about signing up?
Yeah, they should go to the College of Lake County website. They are virtual right now, so that kind of makes things a little bit easier so you don't have to drive to Grays Lake, although it's a beautiful campus and kind of centrally located. But definitely just go to clc.com, look at for the personal development courses, and you'll be able to see that. They're starting up pretty soon in the next week or two, but we definitely still have some openings. It's a little bit easier to do a bigger class when it's virtual.
Right. You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, I'm joined by Elaine B. Cashmore, who is sharing the tricks of the trade from her experience as a successful voiceover talent. Now, you mentioned earlier that there are some agents that specialize in voiceover work. Do you have a voiceover agent?
I do, and I have gotten some work from my agent. It's definitely kind of on my to-do list to solicit some additional agents to get some additional work that way. And that is definitely a route to kind of one of the eggs in your basket, so to speak, that a voiceover actor should explore. Most talent agents are going to be looking for someone with a little bit of business in their portfolio so that they can demonstrate that they've got a body of work. So you're not going to run out the bat and out of the door and get an agent right away. You want to build up a little bit of experience before you start marketing to agents, because you'll kind of be spinning your wheels a little bit if you don't have some experience to show them.
Okay. Now, what percentage of your work in voiceover is your own voice versus a character voice?
It depends on the actor. Some actors do all character work. Some actors do both. I would definitely say most people primarily are just using their own natural voice. There, of course, there is work for for character work for both animation as well as video games. So there's definitely a market for that. However, the market is much larger for just an authentic, conversational, comfortable voice. That is what clients are really looking for. Of course, you will have to find your own path and figure out what is your preference. So for me personally, I would say maybe 5% of the work that I do is character voices, which I love doing. I love doing accents. I love doing characters. And so for some of the projects that I've done for kids, have, you know, audiobooks, things like that, there's some voices within that that I've been able to bring to life. And I absolutely love doing that. But if you want to stay in a niche, especially early on, you do have to realize that you're going to be eliminating a lot of opportunity for yourself.
Now, how much time is spent applying for voiceover work compared to actually doing the work?
Yeah, well, it's a lot. There's a lot of time. So for any professional actor, they will understand that the audition process is large, and it is cumbersome, and it is emotional. And it's not just the actual audition itself, but it's also you're a business, so you're marketing, you're communicating with your clients, you're following up on invoices. So there's a lot of time spent with the business side of it, not just, oh, I'm going to sit down and do a half hour of auditions, but it's all that follow-up and client management that's absolutely critical for the success of a voice actor. It's not so much about your voice, it's about the rest of you and what you are able to do for yourself. So there's a lot of time spent, maybe even half of your time spent with just business work, that maintenance of your small business is really what it is. Another really large time drain that people do need to be aware of is how much time it takes to edit the audio. It is not just about standing in front of your microphone and recording. There is so much more to that second step of editing and mastering that audio, just a slightly, we don't want it over-processed, but that really is a huge chunk of time. So 1 minute of audio can easily take 3 or 4 minutes to process. So when you're talking about an audiobook or you're talking about long-form narration, a longer e-learning piece, it's going to take a lot of time. It's very time-consuming. And that, I think, is something that people forget or kind of want to ignore, but that is a really critical piece to understand, that you'll be spending a lot of time listening to yourself talk, looking at your audio, and making sure that it's professional quality and ready for a client to listen to.
And do you go over the editing process in the classes that you teach?
I do, yes. I found that was very lacking. Now, I learned from YouTube videos, trial and error, reading through the Audacity Wiki, you know, all of those things is kind of how I got to the point where I'm very confident in my audio processing skills. Again, it's a very gentle treatment that we do. I use the ACX requirements, which is the warehousing, or it's a website that connects narrators to authors for Amazon and all of the audiobooks. So
oh,
they
wow.
have very high standards for quality. So I kind of use that as a benchmark for my classes to try to teach people. If you can get it good enough to be accepted there, you'll probably be in a great place to be able to submit for auditions and to turn in your actual work.
And what would you say is your most interesting job that you've done?
Most interesting job that I've done. Oh, actually, I just heard from a client recently that I've been working with for quite some time. They are out of London, which is very normal. I work with people all over the world, which I absolutely love that as well. But they have a platform for school children where they tell historical stories through animation and characters. So they'll, you know, tell the story of Egypt through an Egyptian queen.
Oh. wow.
So I've had an opportunity to do a lot of different fun characters, tell some really great educational stories, and that has been a blast. I've done everything from the Egyptian queen to, you know, a maid in a big house in London, and talked about the French Riviera and talked about the Old West. So a lot of fun things. So I just got another batch of work for them. So I'm excited to really dig in and see what kind of character they're going to be asking me to do for that. So that's probably one of my favorite kind of ongoing clients that I've worked with.
And do you have a lot of repeat business?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, really, in any sort of business, is to keep your clients coming back. One thing that's very easy to kind of have repeat business on is phone systems. It may not feel very glamorous to be saying, press 1 to speak to Tammy, but it really is a great way to practice your skills, practice using your voice, learning how to make something that's very, very dry sound conversational and easygoing and inviting to a listener, but also it really is a great setup for repeat work because those phone trees change, their voicemails change. There's also the on-hold messaging, you know, when you're stuck on hold and the person comes on and they tell you about all the different opportunities or sales or whatever it might be. So those things change. So that's a great way to build that repeat business. If you do a great job, you do quality work, you have good conversations, good communication, and you deliver what you promise, then they'll keep coming back to you.
Now, you're also a stage actress. Does your voiceover work help you in that regard?
Yeah, I would say, and vice versa. You know, that I love being able to work with a director to get some feedback because as a voiceover actor, I'm usually I literally work in my closet and I'm by myself. And sometimes we don't get a lot of feedback or direction from the people that we're working with on the voice work. So I love being able to work with a director and get new ideas and have some things pulled out and explore kind of new opportunities. It also really helps me. I tend to do characters I'm more of a character actor, so I tend to do characters that are going to have some sort of a vocal change, either an accent or dialect or something like that. So that's a really great exercise to practice that, learn that, figure out how I'm going to bring that to life as well. So I do, I love it. I love the combination, and I think I bring a lot from each thing back to the other.
Now, there's a new theatrical awards program in the area called the Lou Awards, named after my late friend Lou Zarni. Elaine is actively involved in this organization. Elaine, can you give us some details on the Lou Awards?
Oh, yeah, it's so exciting. You know, we're all just patiently or impatiently, perhaps, waiting for the return of live theater, and our hearts are just aching for that. But the Lou Awards is here. We're ready and waiting. We had our first season that started about a year ago. We have nominating committee members visit and attend live community theater performances throughout the area, and it's quite a large area, so it's kind of this northern Illinois area, so from Skokie to Rockford and quite a ways far south and then up to Antioch this year.
Okay.
So a lot of different community theater performances. So we'll send a few nominating members and they will decide if any of elements within the show are noteworthy, and if two people determine that that element is noteworthy, then that show is considered recommended and that element is put into the running for being nominated for an award. So we just recently announced our award, our nominations. We're going to be having an event on October, I better get the date right, in October to award the winners. So we're super excited, and it will be done virtually, so we'll be safe and sound. But we're very excited to celebrate theater in this moment when we are all aching for it and missing it so dreadfully. You know, about half of our season was cut short for our review. So right in March when everything shut down, we pulled our nominating members from stopping we stop them from going to performances, and then, of course, performances have been canceled. So we're ready and waiting for the 2020-2021 season to start whenever that happens.
And
so,
Elaine,
the award event is October 11th, Sunday, October 11th.
And Elaine, you're also active with Theater 121 in Woodstock. Do you have any updates on that theater group that you can share?
Yeah, so I joined the board in June for Theater 121 in Woodstock as well, after performing with them and really admiring the work that's done and the passion that's done through the group. So no updates as of yet. You know, we've been trying to think through all of the different options, and can we pull off a live show? Can we ensure and feel confident that our audience and our performers and our staff would be safe to do even something small this fall? And we really decided that though we might be able to do it, let's just wait. So we're exploring other ways to do virtual performances. We're looking at other ways to try to get involved, or trying to keep people involved, at least through social media. But we are looking forward to hopefully doing some shows next year, possibly starting in March, and starting pretty small as well.
Okay, great. Well, I wanted to thank you for joining me here on 101.5 for It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. And you can also stream us at huntleyradio.com. Today, we've been visiting with Elaine B. Cashmore, who has been sharing her expertise on voiceover acting. If you'd like to get in touch with Elaine to book her for a voiceover project, you can find her online at cashmorevoice.com. Elaine, thank you so much for all the great information that you shared with us today. And to those at home, I wish you a great week, and join me back here next Friday for another episode of It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. Elaine, do you have any parting words for our audience?
If you are interested in voiceover, please explore it. It is a wonderful opportunity to work from your home, work for yourself, use your creative side. So I definitely encourage everyone to really explore it as a possibility.
Great. Well, we wish you the absolute best success with your continuing career. Thank you for your time today. And we'll look forward to hearing you on the radio, on TV, and on the internet.
All right. Thanks so much, Ricky.
Thank you, Elaine. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.